come this morning and just lift us up in song.
And good morning, Hunt Springs. It is so good to be with y'all this morning and see all y'all here this morning. It's just a blessing to be here to share with you. I've got a couple of songs I'm going to sing, and then I'm going to sing one towards the end for invitation. But it's good to be with y'all this morning, Wesley. And I just can't express enough the prayers that have been gone up for my dad. It truly has been a journey. It still is a journey. So continue to pray for me and my dad, Charlie, and my mother, Rachel, he's got dementia, and my sister, Rhonda. Some days when daddy started getting sick, when he got sick that week before, about the second week in December, and I was on my way to the hospital, I said, God, how are you going to do this? Because you know what I've got going on. And that calm and peace and assurance come over me. And he said, Amy, I've got you. I've got this. And this morning, no matter what circumstances that you're going through, isn't it wonderful to know that God has got us? He has got us in the palm of his hand. And I want to tell you this morning, the song about singing, God is faithful. No matter what we're going through, you know, Paul says his grace is sufficient. And I have told some, I said, his grace is sufficient. And some days on that journey, it gets a little thin. But praise God that we can go to sleep at night in his care and rest and wake up and be renewed every day. But just keep trusting in God because God is faithful. Going through the last few months, I'm so thankful this morning for all he's done and for all he's going to continue to do. Morning when I wake to see the sun, I can't help but think about all the Lord has done. You know he's been so good to me. He's met my every need, and I can't help but praise the Lord for all he's done. For all he's done, I'm gonna lift my hands and praise him. For all he's done, I'm gonna lift my hands and please him. Even though I don't deserve to live, my life has just begun, and I can't help but praise the Lord for all he's done. There are many things that I could praise God for. If I started now until I die, there'd still be many more. If I can mention only one, I have to thank him for his son. Now that's enough to thank the Lord for all he's done. For all he's done, I'm gonna lift my hands and praise him. For all he's done, I'm gonna lift my hands and praise him. Even though I don't deserve to live, my life has just begun, and I can't help but praise the Lord for all he's done. For all he's done, I'm gonna lift my hands and praise him. For all he's done, even though I don't deserve to live, my life is just begun. I can't help but praise the Lord for all he's done. Even though I don't deserve to live, my life is just begun. Thank you.
Thank you, Amy. We appreciate Amy being with us this morning. Thank y'all for being here. If you will, take your Bibles this morning and turn to John. John chapter 16, verses 16 through 33. And we're going to dismiss the kids to go with Mona and them in the back. Anybody for our children's church that would like to go, and if you're new here and you're not sure about it, you're welcome to go with your kids or stay in here with us. We'll try to get them back in here before service is over if I remember to send somebody after them. If not, you can find them at the top of the steps. Thank y'all so much. Y'all give all these young people a hand. We've been praying for the Lord to revive Hunt Springs, and it's been working. So, I mean, you know, John Hagee always says you need to give the Lord a hand up in his house. So y'all give God another hand. I think often we just take for granted the things that God does around us. You know, John Piper once said that God's doing 10,000 things around us every day, and we're lucky if we see 10 of them. And that's the truth. This morning, as we look at John's gospel, there we go. I guess I got it. As we look at John's gospel this morning, we're in chapter 16. We've been preaching through the gospel of John, and chapters 14 through 16, Jesus here is speaking to the apostles, the disciples, the 11. Judas has gone out into the darkness to betray Jesus. And Jesus is teaching them and talking with them. And this is getting down to just hours before he will go to the cross to die for the sins of the world. And he's talking to the disciples, and he's been talking to them about the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom he will send. The Holy Spirit will testify about Jesus. The Holy Spirit will glorify Jesus. You know, Jesus came to this earth to glorify the Father by living on this earth the life that we should have lived. Jesus came to this earth and lived the life that Adam and Eve should have. Jesus came to this earth so that by living a perfect life and bringing glory to God, by honoring God, yet dying in our place, in the place of sinners, being buried, then being resurrected, that he would fulfill God's plan of salvation. And Jesus come, lived, died, was buried, and was resurrected to the glory of the Father. And this is what Jesus is explaining to them, that as he ascends back to the Father, that then he will send the Holy Spirit. So when we talk about the gospel, I know a lot of times we talk about Jesus dying on the cross, and we talk about asking him into our hearts. But remember this, the gospel message is the birth, the life, the death, the burial, the resurrection, the ascension of Christ, the sending of the Holy Spirit so we can live in the power of Jesus' resurrection and the return of Christ. All that is together. And when we preach it through it sometimes, you know, we just think about what happened then or what's happening now or what might be happening one day. But think about this. God is outside of time. God created time. So when God looks down, he sees all this complete. So when Jesus is speaking here to the disciples, he's speaking to them about something that's already finished. Amen? And so let's look at this. This morning, chapter 16, verse 16, Jesus says, a little while and you'll no longer see me, and again, a little while, you will see me. Some of the disciples then said to one another, what is this that he is telling us? A little while and we will not see me, you will not see me, and again in a little while, you will see me, and because I go to the Father? So they were saying, what is this that he says, a little while? We don't know what he's talking about. And Jesus knew that they wished to question him. And he said to them, are you deliberating together about this? That I said a little while and you'll not see me, and again in a little while you will see me? Truly I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will grieve, but your grief will be turned into joy. Whenever a woman is in labor, she has pain because her hour has come. But when she gives birth to a child, she no longer remembers the anguish because of the joy that that child has been born into the world. Therefore, you too have grief now. But I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and no one will take your joy away from you. Let us pray. Kind Father, we just thank you this morning for your blessings, for your mercy, for your grace, for salvation that we have in Christ Jesus, for the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit, the confidence that we have that you love us, that, Lord, our faith is secured in the power of the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Spirit that we have, and our hope, Lord, is in the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. As we look at this morning, I want to talk to you about the joy of reconciliation. If we look at this chapter 16, verses 16 through 33, it's talking about, go to the next slide, Bobby. Something's happened up here. Jesus' death and resurrection give birth to reconciliation. As we look at verses 16 through 22, Jesus is explaining to the disciples what is going to happen in the next few hours when he goes to the cross. And he says here, in a little while, this word little while here is mikros, or where we get our word micro, and it means in a short period of time. He says, you'll no longer see me, and again in a little while, you will see me. And it says some of the disciples were asking about this thing he's telling us. In other words, they was questioning this, and Jesus, all-knowing, knew what they was asking, and Jesus was answering their question. He was explaining it to them. Now, there's three views here that you think about, and I think that John is a little ambiguous here in that when he's speaking about Jesus saying, in a little while, you will not see me anymore, but in a little while, you will see me. He is talking about, it's kind of like chapter 14, when he says, I go to prepare a place. If I come again, I'll receive you to where I am, that you can be with me also. There, he's talking about the second coming and the rapture, but he's also talking about the resurrection. So when Jesus here, a lot of the commentators will say, well, he's talking about he's going to be buried and 3 days later he's going to be raised. The disciples will see him 3 days later when he's resurrected. Because the disciples saw Jesus resurrected, he lived on earth 40 more days teaching them before in Acts chapter 1 he ascended back to the Father. We know that the resurrection is true. We know the resurrection really happened. But Jesus has been talking the last three chapters here about the sending of the Helper, the Paraclete. He's talking about the sending of the Holy Spirit to help us live the life that we was created to live. So when Jesus says, here in a little while, you'll not see me, but then in a little while again, you will see me, he's talking about the fullness of salvation, what is happening here. He's talking about not only will I go to the cross and die for your sins, I will be buried, I will be resurrected, you will see me again, but notice here he says that I go to the Father. He's talking about after I ascend to the Father, what he's been talking about is I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit resides in you, then you'll have the joy of obedience. I want to talk to you about understanding the joy of obedience. What happens here, when we think about this, he gives us an illustration. He says, whenever a woman is in labor, she has pain because her hour has not come. But when she gives birth to a child, she no longer remembers the anguish because of the joy that child has been born into the world. Now, personally, I can't comment on what it feels like to have a child, but I've heard it's painful. Amen? Now, in the Bible, over and over, when the prophets were speaking about childbirth and comparing it to the joy that comes, all along in Isaiah 13, verse 8, 21:3, 26:17, 66:7, in Hosea 13:13, and in Micah 4:9. In Micah 4:9, it says this. Now, why do you cry out loudly? Is there no king among you, or has your counselor perished? That agony has gripped you like a woman in childbirth? What the prophets are talking about, what Jesus is talking about, is judgment. Speaking of judgment here, he says, now, when I go to the cross, you're going to be grieving because I'm gone. When I go to the cross, the world will rejoice. Why? They got rid of Jesus. Satan and the Jews and the world, they really thought this is our day when they crucified Jesus. Because they thought they had defeated him. They had done away with him. They didn't have to listen to his teaching no more. He was buried. But 3 days later, he what? He rose. Now this idea of childbirth and judgment here for this illustration goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 15 when God tells Eve part of the punishment for rebellion, for sin, is pain in childbirth. And I know what you women are thinking. Well, that ain't fair. Well, no, but I'm going to tell you what my ethics professor told me one time. He said, at the beginning of class, I'll never forget this, don't nobody ever say that this ain't fair or you don't deserve this. Because he said, we deserve sin and death. That's what this ethics class is about. And I'll fail you if you ever tell me you don't deserve the grade I give you. And I'm like, well, he's harsh. Amen? No, what God says is there's going to be things in life that I'll use as illustrations to show you what's going on. And I want to show you what's going on here that the Holy Spirit helps us that we take for granted. When he says that she's in labor and pain, and this word here is the idea of twisting in pain, but when she gives birth, she no longer remembers the anguish of the labor because of the joy that a child has been born into the world. When a lady gives birth, the room doesn't change. The hospital doesn't change. What changes is a wife just become a mother. When we accept Jesus Christ, our situation doesn't change. We change. Our relationship to God changes. We are reconciled to the Father. In these next few verses after this, Jesus uses the word Father 6 times to talk about how our relationship has changed to our Father. Now, I want you to think about how our pain and our grief of the cross is changed into joy. Now, when I was young, I don't really know how old I was, probably 7, 8 years old. Aunt Betty Lou was teaching Sunday school class. I was just at that church to do a funeral the other day. I can no longer look out that window because the building's longer now. Amen? All right, so, but I remember sitting there, and she's talking about God, and I was trying to be smart and keep up. And you know how it is when you're trying to do your best in Sunday school. You're looking out the window, and your mind just goes out there somewhere, right? When she was telling, I don't even know what the lesson was on, but I remember this. I was thinking, well, if God's all this and what she's saying, I'm looking out there, it's a bunch of oak trees where Jack Robinson's house later was built. And I'm looking at those trees and I'm thinking, well, if God is really all that, where's he at? And I was thinking he's past the trees. And I'm not saying this to say I was smart, right? This is just a kid's mind running away. And I was thinking, you know, if he's past the trees and if he's past the sky and he's past this, and I keep going till everything got dark and I went past everything and I realized that God is beyond everything I can imagine. And that day, I come down front to accept Christ as my Savior. But you know what? I was actually accepting the idea that God existed and the idea that God was above everything and beyond everything. Still didn't quite grasp what judgment meant. Took me only 20 some more years. Right? I went to church. I done things I was supposed to. But I wasn't saved because I had never got to the point that the death of Christ grieved me. And even after I got saved, when I was 31 years old, I didn't understand this. You know when I first understood what this grief was? When the movie about Christ come out with Mel Gibson. And the church was going to go see that movie. And I got to thinking about it because I'd seen the previews. And I'm like, I can't watch this. I can't watch Jesus get beat for all the things that I have done. Can you imagine anybody taking your shame and your guilt? Do you know Jesus not only took our guilt, he took our shame. Do you know that's why he was stripped, beaten, and hung naked on a cross? Because of our shame. When Adam and Eve first sinned, said they tried to sew fig leaves together to hide themselves. Because why? They was ashamed before God. They realized that the image of God, they had spoiled that image, that perfection, that relationship they had with God, and they hid. And God said to Adam, he says, Adam, where you at? I'm hiding. Who told you to hide? And then God made a sacrifice. He slayed an animal, shed blood, made skins to cover their nakedness, so they could, what, come back in the presence of God. You know what? That's what Jesus did on the cross. When we come to the cross and understand how our sin has hurt God so deeply that he had to send Jesus to die for that sin, to pay for that sin. It turns our heart to grief. First thing in repentance is grief. Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. He says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He's talking about when poor in spirit, you realize I am spiritually bankrupt before cross, before God. It's nothing I can do to be reconciled to God. I've not lived the life that God wanted me to live, and it's no way I can make up what I broke. And you begin to grieve. But he says that grief, when he's resurrected, will be turned into joy, that your heart will rejoice, and no one can take that joy away. So I want you to think about it like this, if his cross is still here. Somewhere in your life, you've come to the idea and the understanding that you're a sinner and you're undone for God. You're separated from God and you can't get to God. And you realize you're spiritually bankrupt and you have absolutely no way to fix this. And grief enters your heart. And you realize that Jesus died on the cross for you. Now guess what? You can't get to heaven by going around the cross, over the cross, or under the cross. There's death on this side of the cross, and there's life on this side of the cross. What you got to do over here is die to your old self. You got to admit, Lord, I'm undone. My rags are filthy before you. I'm going to die and leave all this old behind. I believe that Christ died for my sins, and as he is raised again to righteousness, I believe I can be raised right with Christ. Say right with Christ. That's what it means by righteousness. Christ makes us right with God. Paul calls this reconciliation. We was once alienated and separated from God on this side of the cross. We are reconciled to God. We are children of God. John 1:12 says, but as many as receive him, to them he grants to become children of God. That means to be made into children of God, to be made into a people of God. A people who were not God's become God's people. You say, I was grieved. And I mean, the understanding that Christ bled and died for us grieves us, but the understanding that when he was resurrected, all our sins have been paid and we got a brand new life brings us a joy that cannot be taken away. And Jesus is telling the disciples here that for a little while you're going to grieve, but because of the finished work of God's plan of salvation on the cross, guess what? You're going to get a new joy. Now, they think about this. He's speaking to these 11 men who have walked with him for 3 years. We need something to eat. Who are you going to call? Jesus. The Pharisees, the Baptists, what are we going to do? Get behind Jesus. Think about it. Every time something was going to happen to the disciples, they run to Jesus. Now, Jesus says, I'm going to be gone. And you're going to be scattered. That's Old Testament prophet, that if they strike the shepherd, the sheep's going to be scattered. He says, but you're going to see me again. Do they see Jesus again? Yes, they do, in 3 days. Do they spend 40 days with him? Yes, they do. Do they ask him, is now when you're going to bring in the kingdom of heaven? Jesus says, it's not for me to know. The time's been set by the Father. But you'll be my witnesses. You go to Jerusalem and wait till the power comes upon you of the Holy Spirit. Then you'll be my witnesses. So what Jesus is talking about here is something that we can understand today. How many, you know, used to, I think, you know, if I was like David or if I was like Paul or, you know, don't really want to be like Peter. He always got his foot in his mouth. But You know, you say, you know, if I'd have been back then, I'd have done this, I'd have done that. Guess what Jesus is saying? You can do the same thing today that these disciples did then. Because why? He said, hey, God's plan wasn't finished until I ascended back to him. And then I sent the Holy Spirit to testify about me. The Holy Spirit's going to glorify me. How's he going to glorify you, Lord? Well, I glorified the Father by doing everything the Father asked me to do when I was on this earth. When you accept me, the Holy Spirit will take control and live in you and help you glorify me that I may glorify the Father. Am I making sense? Do you know what the joy of salvation is? Obeying God. When we obey God, things work out good. Listen to what he says in Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 36. God says to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I'm about to act, but for my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you went. In other words, here's what God says. I'm not saving you, Pastor, because you're a good man. I'm saving you so I can show people what I can do when you are reborn. He's saying to Israel, I'm going to rescue y'all, but it's not because y'all are Israel. It's because the rest of the world is going to see how great a God I am. And then he says this in verse 26 of chapter 36. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your heart of flesh and give you a new heart of flesh. When I put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances, you will live in the land that I have given your forefathers. This is one of my favorite texts in the Bible. It comes just before chapter 37, where the dead bones is out there. And he tells Ezekiel to prophesy to them. And then the Spirit blows on them and they start coming to life. But here's what God is saying. You are unable to obey me without my Spirit dwelling in you. See, often I think that we get confused. We think we get saved and all dressed up and get my suit pressed and get to looking good and come to church and we like, God, look at me. That's almost blasphemy. You know what we need to do? Look what God has done. Lord, I wouldn't even be here today if it weren't for you. Do you know how many Sunday mornings I rode by Mount Gilead Baptist Church and know I ought to have been in that church and that red Mustang and won't? I had somebody text me the other day talking about the red Mustang I used to have. And I was thinking about all the things I'd done when you could have went to, going to church, we need to go to church, but we start going to church and enjoying church when we have a changed life and a new heart. We come to church to thank God that we are here. We don't come to church so God thanks us for coming. If you can just remember back, this is the grief that we forget about. It should grieve us to remember the things we used to do. And it makes us happy to know that by the grace of God, we don't do them anymore. Spurgeon once said, leaving the prison, the jailer pointed to a man that was been in the paper they had just arrested and asked him, what do you think about this man? Spurgeon looked at him and said, but by the grace of God, there go I. In other words, only by the grace of God separated him and that man. It won't the bars. Jesus says that no one can take this joy from you once you realize that he is sending his Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in us, I want to review a little bit here so you remember what happens. The Holy Spirit, when he comes, he will teach you all things. He teaches you what the Bible says, and he brings into remembrance all that God had said to the apostles where they wrote the New Testament. Then he will testify about the Father and about the Son, and he will guide you in all truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose it to you. That's why Jesus says in verse 23, in that day you'll not question me about anything. Truly I say to you, if you ask the Father for anything in my name, he will give it to you. All right, I'm gonna close with this morning. When the world tries to steal your joy, now, as Christians, we're supposed to be happy, right? But the world, things still go wrong. When the world tries to steal our joy, you need to dial 911. I'm going to tell y'all, I ain't going to tell her name because she's a little embarrassed about this, but I told her not to be embarrassed. Me and my wife done the exact same thing. I got a good friend that asked me to pray for her mama the other night because her mama felt violated and was a little afraid of being home. She's on up in her years a little bit, and she got up the other Monday morning and her car had been stolen. So she called the police and told them, and they was looking for it, and we've been praying for her. And then they went to church on Wednesday night, and there sat her car. Her daughter had brought her home, and they forgot they left the car at church. Now, I told her not to feel bad because me and Mona has left here a lot of Sundays and get home. And when the garage door comes up, Mona would say, where's my truck? And I'm like, we have left it at church again. My point is this. When things start going wrong and start taking your joy and make you start going back to your old way of anger, of bitterness, of lashing out, of trying to handle things on your own, these things that you say I have buried, my old way of life, my fighting the world by myself, how often do we go back to our old way instead of call out to God? You know, a lot of times things you do now, they want your emergency contacts. Who's first on your list? Is it God? Here's what Jesus says. He says that if the world tries to take your joy, that you can ask the Father for anything in my name, he'll give it to you. Look at this. Verse 24. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Asked and you will receive so that your joy may be made full. This means complete. The things that I have spoken to you in figurative language, an hour is coming when I'll no longer speak to you in figurative language, but will tell you plainly of the Father. Jesus is talking about when the Holy Spirit comes and illuminates us, the longer we're saved, the more we read His Word, the more the Holy Spirit helps us understand what God is saying, the more we'll have joy in our salvation, joy with the Father, joy with the Son, joy being indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and the more we'll enjoy life. No matter how bad things get, life gets tough. But the joy is knowing that we're known by God and we can't be left by ourselves. Look what he says here. These things I've spoken to you in figurative language. An hour is coming, I'll no longer do this. Verse 26, in that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say that I will request of the Father on your behalf. Verse 27, for the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from the Father. I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. I'm leaving the world again and I'm going to the Father. So he's ascending back to the Father. Verse 29, his disciples said, lo, or this means look or pay attention or behold. It says, lo, now you speak in plainly and are not using a figurative language, a figure of language. Verse 30, now we know that you know all things and have no need for anyone to question you. By this, we believe that you've come from God. And Jesus answered them, do you now believe? Why didn't you believe him before? What Jesus is saying here is, as the Holy Spirit indwells us after salvation, we might not understand everything on this side of the cross. And when we get on this side of the cross, we're going to start growing in revelation. We still won't understand everything. Did you know, over here, when we get to heaven, we still won't understand everything about God. You know why? My God's beyond everything we can imagine. We got a whole eternity that we're going to grow in the knowledge of God. That is the joy that Jesus is talking about. I know the world's messed up, but guess what my God can do? I mean, you can tell by my voice. I got something going on here. Don't know exactly what it was. Do you know what, and I'm your preacher, do you know what I done? I tried vitamins, Alka-Seltzer Plus, and everything I could to quit coughing so I could preach today. And I'm preaching on prayer. And I thought, how stupid can one man be? I've tried everything in the medicine cabinet. I can't talk this morning. How about a little prayer, Lord? Sometimes it's so easy to try to fix things ourselves that we worry about our problems instead of seeing that it's opportunity. I get to pray. Paul in Galatians chapter 4 says this, it's not that you come to know God. It's that you come to know you are known by God. Jesus says, here, guess what? I don't have to intercede for you anymore. Now, I'm not saying he's not our mediator. He's not our Savior. What he's saying is you can pray directly to God. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, you pray in Jesus' name. You pray and ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We got direct. When we dial 911, I don't know if you just seen this. Ladies in trouble and being charged probably with dropping a 911 call. Guess what? When we call God, listen to this. He never delays and he's always listening. Isaiah chapter 65 verse 24. It will also come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they still speaking, I'm here. Is that a promise? Lord, I should have been praying yesterday because you was already listening and I've waited to this morning. I'd probably be well if I'd have prayed yesterday. Amen? We take the opportunity of prayer for granted because we forget how great a Father in heaven we have. Jesus says, don't let the world steal your joy. He says, because you don't see me, because I'm at the right hand of the Father, I've sent my Spirit, and my Spirit is dwelling in you. And my Spirit makes you alive to God and God alive to you. God says it this way later in Ezekiel, you will be my people and I'll be your God. Why? Because look what God's done. So the rest of the world can see. That's why Jesus says the Holy Spirit testifies about me and he will glorify me. Our life is to be a testimony to how great God is and what Christ has done for us. When you pray in Jesus' name, I'll never forget, I was real young. They wanted me to pray for the offertory prayer, a little bitty kid. And people love it when the kids do that stuff, right? And they wanted me to do it, and I was terrified. So I had one man in the back tell me, I didn't even know how to start the prayer out loud, you know. And he said, pray, dear gracious Heavenly Father. And then I remember when I started down the aisle, I'll never forget it. Somebody from the back, I don't know who it was, said, don't forget to say in Jesus' name. So I was up there, you know, shaking and praying, and the Lord took over. It was good news. But often, don't we do that? Don't we tag on in Jesus' name? Lord, thank you for this food, and thank you for these people. We're here to fellowship, and thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. In Jesus' name is not something that you just add to the end of the prayer. In Jesus' name means I'm calling on the Holy Father, the creator of heaven and earth. And I'm calling on him in the person of Jesus Christ, in the purpose of Jesus Christ, so that I can help finish the plan of Jesus Christ as long as he leaves me on this earth. You know why we can ask and God will give us everything we ask? Because when we are in the Spirit and in God's Word and the Word's going in and prayer's flowing out, we just keep praying and all of a sudden we start understanding what God wants us to do. It might not need that your voice needs to be healed. It might need that you need to stand up in the power of God. It might not be that you need a better job. It might be that you just need to trust God more till you see what he's doing where you're at. You know, often we try to fix these things and we're not realizing what God's got for us to do. You know, Hunt Springs, I'd asked the Cowboy Church to pray for Hunt Springs. I asked Hunt Springs to pray for Hunt Springs. And we've been praying, and God's blessed us with visitors, with people coming. You know who gets the glory for that? Not us. God. It's not been some great outreach project. It's been God through the Holy Spirit drawing people together so we can worship Him. The greatest gift that we have is knowing that our joy cannot be taken away. This morning as we bow our heads and close our eyes, I just want you to remember that Jesus says He's spoken these things so that you can have peace. In the world we'll have trouble, but take courage because He's overcome the world. This morning, I don't know what's going on in your life, but if you've never accepted forgiveness and life with Christ, it's this simple. Just say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I've done wrong. And I know it's nothing I can do to make me worthy of heaven. But I believe Jesus lived and Jesus died. And I'm asking Jesus to forgive me and take control of my life. If you've prayed that, raise your hand. If you're here and you've been a Christian a long time, Jesus says it's time to take courage. This idea of take courage means to have confidence of purpose in the face of danger. In other words, when trouble comes, have confidence that God's going to show you His purpose and help you through whatever's going on in your life next week. Trust in Him, and remember, when times get tough, dial 911. Just call on the name of the Lord. Kind Father, we thank You that, Lord, You have saved us. You've brought us together. We thank You for the power of Your Spirit. And we ask now, Lord, that You just bless us. You guide us. You direct us. Lord, lead us out from here today that others will know that we've been in Your presence and that in Your presence You've done a great work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We knew He was dead, it is finished, He said, as we watched, as His life ebbed away. And we all stood around till the guards took Him down. Joseph begged for His body that day. It was late afternoon when we got to the tomb, wrapped His body, sealed up the grave. So real, but please listen and hear what I say. I've just seen Jesus, and I tell you He's alive. I've just seen Jesus. Oh, those kind, gentle words, asking what was her reason for tears. And I sobbed in despair, my Lord is not there. He said, child, it is I am here.
Thank you, Amy. Amen. Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 24, and then in verse 27, God says this: they will have one shepherd, and they will walk in my ordinances and in my statutes, and they will observe them. My dwelling place also will be with them, and I'll be their God, and they will be my people. Once you see Jesus, you'll never be the same. And His Spirit takes up dwelling with you. Let us pray. Kind Fathers, we come before You now, Lord. We just thank You for this day, and we ask that You be with us, that You guide, direct us, and bless us. And as we leave this place, Lord, may we be testimonies. May we be witnesses unto Christ wherever we go today and this week, that others would know that we have been saved by You, indwelt by Your Spirit, that our life, our words and our deeds, our thoughts and our actions would bring glory to You in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning we want to praise God by bringing two families to Hunt Springs this morning. The Lord is just blessing us. I'm going to ask Andrew and Chrissy and Matthew and Hadley if they would come down. Y'all give them a hand. Also, I'm going to ask if Brother Roger and Miss Mary Lois would come down. Y'all give them a hand. Told somebody the other day, I'm on my toes now. I got two preachers in here with me. Hey, this is how God works, and God gets all the glory. He's brought a lot of new families in as you look around, and Tony and Melissa and Randy and Miss Debbie. It's just so many that the Lord's been bringing here, and now he brings Andrew and Chrissy and the kids, and also Miss Mary and Pastor Roger, and he's just brought Pastor James and Miss Diana. It's just so many here. We got so many blessings we want to praise God for this morning. We just want to give him the praise, and I want y'all to come by and welcome them to Hunt Springs and tell them hello. And also, June the 8th, we're having a fellowship meal, and part of that is just so we get to know each other better, because it's hard to get to know people squeezing out the back door after church. Amen? And so try to, you know, we're not cooking. We're going to have probably sandwiches and stuff already prepared so you can spend time fellowshipping. So, you know, introduce yourself to each other, get to know one another, tell each other what God's done in your life. You know, you come together and we talk about football, horses, racing, golf. We can talk about everything. Sometimes when we come together, we ought to just tell other people what God's done in our life this week. And let's share that. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask if you'll come welcome him. And we thank y'all for being part of Hunt Springs Baptist Church. Kind Father, we come before you this morning and just thank you and praise you for adding to the number. Lord, we know that through the Holy Spirit, we're not only saved, but we are added together into your kingdom, your local church, that we may worship you, that we may be the hands and feet of Christ here on this earth. And as at Hunt Springs, we want to preach Jesus. We want to follow Jesus. We want to serve him by serving others so that they would know that you love them. You know right where they are. You know what they need. Lord, we don't want to just pray for people. We want to be in action and let them see that you hear the prayers before they're offered, and you're already answering them before we finish speaking. What a blessing we have that we can participate in answered prayers. Thank you now, Lord, for answering the prayers to help grow Hunt Springs and help us be a light in a dark, dark situation in our culture. Help us to be the light in this community, spreading out. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.